whom he is like. And Jesus, in verse 46 and verse 47, is teaching us that when a person calls Jesus Lord, he must of necessity do the things that Jesus said. You see what he's saying? If a person says, Jesus, you're my Lord, and that person doesn't do the things that Jesus said, that's a contradiction, right? When you say Jesus is Lord, he's master, that means he's boss. He controls your life. He tells you what to do. He tells you what to believe. He tells you where to go to church. He tells you how to raise your children. He tells you what, everything. And you do not the things which I say. How can I know that Jesus is my Lord? I can know if the way I live proves that by the strength of the Holy Spirit, I am seeking to obey and please the Lord Jesus Christ. I am doing the things that he tells me to do from the Bible. Now that's very elementary and simple. But yet the church needs to hear that message. Because there's a lot of people who are going to hell who have not yet believed in Jesus as their Lord. But this text of Scripture, as well as others, and I won't have you turn to any more now, teaches us this. That when a person confesses that Jesus is Lord, he is saying, Lord Jesus, I am tired of running my life. No longer am I going to call the shots. No longer am I going to make the decision on whom I'm going to marry, how I'm going to raise the children, how I'm going to spend the money, how much money I put in the offering plate on Sunday, whether I will be a deacon or an elder in the church, what church I choose to go to, how I pay my taxes, how I relate to my next door neighbor, how I raise my children, whether I have a right attitude towards my husband, how I do this and how I do that. That is what happens when a person becomes a Christian. You see? Now I want to take it one step further. Under Roman numeral 5, look at your notes. Submission to the Lordship of Christ proves itself in obedience to his command. Look at letter A. Obedience to his command, as you have your sheet in front of you. In John chapter 14, verse 21 and 24, Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. See what it says? He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Who loves Jesus? The person who has the commandments and he keeps them. The language in the original is constantly, daily, keeps on keeping them. Does that mean he never sins? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that when he sins, he asks the Lord for forgiveness, and then he gets right back up in the strength of Christ, and he keeps keeping the commandments of God. He keeps doing what Jesus tells him to do. God gives him the strength to do that. He who does not love me does not keep my word. Who's the person who doesn't love Jesus? He doesn't keep the words of Christ. He doesn't listen to what Christ tells him to do. And when you don't do what Jesus tells you to do on a regular, habitual, constant, everyday, long periods of time basis, it proves that Jesus is really not what? My Lord. For submission to the Lordship of Christ means, it means that I will be obeying Jesus in the things he tells me to do. And if I'm not doing what Jesus tells me to do, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say? MacArthur has said correctly, a concept of faith that excludes obedience corrupts the message of salvation. And what he was saying was what the Bible is saying, is what I'm trying to say this morning. When a person says, I have faith in Jesus Christ, I cling to the cross of Christ, I rely upon Jesus, he shed his blood. He died for sinners. I commit myself to him to get me to heaven. When a person confesses that with his mouth, how do we know it's a real, true, genuine confession and he's not a phony? The way you know is that he submits himself to the Lordship of Christ. In other words, Jesus now takes over his life and Jesus runs his life. And Jesus gives the orders, and the Christian says, yes, Lord, wherever you send, I will go. Whatever you tell me, I will do as you give me the strength. Lord, you know I won't be able to do it perfectly. I'm going to sin. But as you give me the strength, I will do it. And that is what a Christian is. Now, there's one final point that I want to make on this. And that is, a Christian is described in the Bible as being a disciple. Now, in the church of Antioch, it says in the book of Acts, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in Antioch was the church north, beside Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a very strong church, and then Antioch was the other strong church in that time. And Christians were first called, or disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, teaching us that a Christian is a disciple of Christ. What's a disciple? A follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at your notes. John chapter 10, verse 28. My sheep, notice how Jesus describes Christians. Hear me, hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? Follow me, and I give them eternal life. In the book of Revelation, it gives a beautiful illustration of what a Christian is. It says a Christian is a person who follows the Lamb wherever he goes. They're right behind the Lamb. Wherever the Lamb goes, the Christian goes. That's what a Christian is. He follows the Lord Jesus Christ, like the sheep who follows the shepherd. That's what a Christian is. He is a disciple of Jesus Christ. He is a follower of Jesus Christ. And finally, the Christian is an imitator of Christ. Imitation of Christ. A Christian imitates Christ. 1 John 3 and verse 3 in your notes. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. A Christian wants to keep himself pure because Christ is pure. Christ is holy. Christ is sinless. And the Christian knows that he cannot keep himself completely spotless and completely sinless, but he does his very best in the strength that God gives him. I want to be like Jesus. I want to imitate Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. 1 John 2 and verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself walk just as he walked. You know what a Christian is? A Christian is a person, you ever notice in the sand? You walk in the sand and you make all these big steps. You make these big footprints. And there's your little kid behind you, and he kind of puts his little feet right inside your footsteps. And he traces. Well, that's what a Christian is. Wherever Jesus puts the track, the Christian says, okay, I want to put one foot, that's where Jesus put his foot, and I'm going to put my foot there, that's where Jesus. See, it's that kind of a thinking. The Christian wants to obey, serve, follow, submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Romans says. The Christian wants to be conformed to the image of Christ. You know what the definition of a Christian is? It's a little Christ. A little Christ. A person who wants to be like Christ. He imitates Christ. He obeys Christ. He follows Christ as his Lord. Okay. We're finished with that presentation now to our application as we conclude these messages. This is the seventh message on what is the gospel. It's the final message in this series. We have said thus far that the message of the gospel is a message about God. It is a message about sin. It is a message about wrath. It is a message about repentance. It is a message about faith. And it is a message about the Lordship of Christ as being the real evidence that I have real faith in Christ. Now I ask you the question. What have you been doing sitting there in the pulpit? Have you been getting entertained? He says, Gabe, are you implying that some people can come to church to get entertained? Yes. Time doesn't allow me, but I would encourage you to read the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. And you find that people come to hear preaching because it's like the guy's playing a beautiful instrument, like he's playing a violin. It's a beautiful performance. The preacher says just the exact words. He gets a little excited, some of us more than others. He tells us a few stories. He tells us the Bible. But some people go to churches to hear a beautiful performance, like they go to hear a cantata. or they go hear a musical performance. Have you come to church to hear a performance, or have you come to say, Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of the church. You are the Lord of my life. I'm going to forget that Thompson is preaching. I'm going to forget that Tom is preaching. I'm going to forget that Arnold is preaching. I'm going to forget that Gabe is preaching. And as long as that preacher tells me what the Bible says, and he doesn't twist it, he doesn't give a wrong interpretation, then you know who's speaking? Jesus! Are you telling me, Gabe, that if the preacher accurately and properly teaches the Bible, it's just like Jesus was standing right here and he was telling you the message? It's no different. Exactly the same. As long as the preacher is being accurate and true to the Bible. So therefore, your attitude ought to be, and my attitude ought to be, is we've not come to hear a performance. We've not come to be entertained. Nor have we just come there just to sit there and just put up with it and just, oh, let's just get over with this. I want to go home. I want this. I want to go downstairs and have a snack. No, our attitude ought to be, Lord Jesus, like Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant is hearing, is listening, and paying attention. Lord, Master, Sovereign, King of the universe, Lord of lords, I'm here to listen to you. Do you have any new instructions for me? Is there something more I need to learn from the Bible? Has there been something in my life that I've been doing that has not been right? Show me, Lord. Open my eyes from the Scriptures. Show me what I'm doing wrong, those things that are not pleasing to you. Lord, show me. Open my eyes. That is the attitude of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that is the attitude with which we ought to come. Because according to the book of James, it is very possible for a person to be a hearer of the word and not a what? A doer of the word. Now, my application along this line is this. I've been preaching messages about that when you preach the message of the gospel, you've got to preach and teach people about God. I got a question for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that it's important to teach people about God? If I have accurately presented that from the Bible, Jesus has told you, you ought to be preaching about God when you give the gospel out. When the gospel is presented, should you talk about sin? According to Jesus, preaching about sin is absolutely important. What about this terrible doctrine about the wrath of God and judgment and hell? According to Jesus, now some of you weren't here. Some of you were. I hope you got the message. And that message was that we looked at how many verses in the book of Matthew? How many verses? Jesus preached on hell so much more than he preached on heaven. Now here it is. Now here, listen to me, folks. Lord Jesus, you're the Lord. You're the master. I'm the disciple. I'm the follower. Teach me, Lord, whatever you want me to teach. And Jesus says, I want you to preach on hell. I want you to believe the doctrine of hell. When you preach the gospel, I want you to tell sinners that unless they repent and believe in Jesus Christ, they're going to go to hell. Oh, but Lord, that's so offensive. That's so hard and difficult. Is that the way a disciple speaks to his master? No, he says, Lord Jesus, I don't understand it, but that's what your word says. Then what about repentance? What about genuine faith in Christ? What about the Lordship of Christ today? I hope I convince you from the Bible that when a person receives Jesus as Savior, of necessity he receives him as Lord. Now, half of the Church of Christ is not preaching this message. My question is to you, are you convinced today, now, at the conclusion of these messages, are you convinced that it is necessary when you preach the gospel that you've got to teach people about God, you've got to teach them about sin, you've got to teach them about repentance and the wrath of God and faith and the Lordship of Christ? Are you convinced? You don't necessarily have to nod your head. If you want to, that's fine. But from your heart, tell the Lord Jesus, are you convinced that this is true? Or are you convinced that I have played a manipulation game? I have waved a magic wand, abracadabra, and I have pulled the wool over your eyes. And if I've done that, I'm in terrible trouble. Because I'm going to have to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. According to James 2, it says, I'm going to be given a stricter judgment. I'm going to be judged more severely than you. because I preached the wrong message. So my point is this. We confess to believe in the Lordship of Christ. Part of the Lordship of Christ means when Jesus teaches me something from the Bible, what must I do? I must believe it and put it into practice. Otherwise, what have I done? Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say?" The Church of Jesus Christ is denying the fact that when a person receives Christ as Savior, it's not necessary to receive Him as Lord. Now I ask you, I'm going to put you to the test. If Mr. Christian down the block from so-and-so church, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever, comes to you and says, "Well, you know, my son just became a Christian. Yeah, he received Jesus as his Savior, but I'm really concerned about him. He's still living with that woman. I'm still concerned about him because he has a filthy mouth. But I know he's a Christian. He just received Jesus as Savior." What are you going to tell him? "Oh, but I don't want to offend him or her." Would you rather offend the Lord or would you rather offend them? What do you think Jesus would want you to tell you? Tell him in a very loving, kind, tender, compassionate, understanding, tactful, gracious, loving. How many words do I have to find? You say, "I'm sorry, my dear woman, man, but according to the teaching of the Bible, if this young man or this young lady is still disobeying what Jesus tells him or her to do, he or she cannot claim to be a Christian." "Oh, but that's judgmental. How do you know the person's heart?" You know how you know? By the things that come out in the life. That's how you know. The way people live is an indication of what goes on in the heart. Well, you can't judge. Of course you can judge. Jesus said for us to judge. Must I turn to it? John chapter 7, verse 30. "Judge a righteous judgment." Make sure it's an accurate judgment. Don't make it a personal thing. Don't make it vindictive. Don't look down your nose that you're better than them. But if the person is living in sin and says, "Jesus is my Savior and I'm a Christian," and you heard this morning that you can't be saved unless Jesus is also your Lord, what would you rather do? Keep that person as your friend and your buddy, or would you rather disappoint the Lord Jesus Christ? A Christian will say, "Well, I'm going to be as kind as I can with this person. I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to put on my white gloves and handle them as gently as I can. But I've got to tell them the truth because I love them and I love Jesus." And Jesus tells me that when a person does not live in a certain way, they cannot be a Christian. Now finally, the practical submission of the Lord Jesus to Jesus Christ will evidence itself in this way. And I'm going to get very personal this morning. Because you know why? The Bible is personal. You know what the Bible does? The Bible gets into your pocketbook. The Bible goes into your bedroom. The Bible goes into the income tax statement. The Bible goes into your money. The Bible goes down with you, down to the job. The Lordship of Christ goes into your time, your money, your television, your friends, your relationship, the thought life. What you do on Sunday, what you don't do on Sunday, relatives, recreation, work life, personal life, family life, church life. I can't find enough words to describe that Jesus has his lordship involved in every single area of your and my life. Who does Jesus think he is anyway? God? Exactly right. He's God. And as God, he has the right to tell us how we should live. How do we know what pleases the Lord Jesus Christ? It's written for us in the pages of the Bible. Now, I ask you, finally, as I conclude, what kind of an attitude is it for the Christian who says to Jesus, "I am your servant. Speak, Lord. I want to do what you tell me to do." And then he never takes the time to study the Bible. Where does Jesus speak to us from? In the Scripture. And that person doesn't take the time to study the Scripture. It's a contradiction. These are the letter, this is the instructions of our commanding officer. This is the letter, the laws, the commandments of King Jesus. And the Christian wants to obey what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to. And I'm gonna make a prophecy. Not that I'm a prophet, a prediction. If you and I begin to obey the Lord Jesus Christ in the strength that He gives us, in every area of our lives, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be persecuted. So how do you mean? Your family is going to accuse you of being too strict. Your children are going to rebel. Your friends are going to think it's you being too narrow. Your fellow church members are going to be saying, why are you holier than thou? Are you ready for that kind of a treatment? Jesus Christ was treated that way. Remember what they did to Jesus? They persecuted him. They mocked him. They laughed at him. May I encourage you to be willing to do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Because Jesus said, listen to the words of Jesus. He says in another place, the disciple is not above his master. No need to turn there. The disciple is not above the master. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Professing Christians are going to hate you and despise you. Maybe hate is kind of a strong word. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to accuse you. They're going to do so many things to you. Because you're the person who says, I want Jesus to tell me how to use my time. I want him to tell me about my priorities. I want him to tell me what to do on Sunday, what not to do on Sunday, how to use my money, how to use the television, how to relate to friends, personal life, work life. Lord Jesus, come into my life, in every part of my life. And the Christian doesn't say, well, Lord, this is private. You can't come into this part of my life. That's ridiculous. You see. Now, what has Jesus done for us that makes him deserve him being the Lord of every part of our life? Well, first of all, he's God. But think of what Jesus did. He died on the cross. He shed his blood, right, to bring us to heaven. Now, is that enough that will make the Christian say, Lord Jesus, whatever you tell me to do, I will do. Jesus died for our sins. He paid the price. He suffered the wrath of God. What else can we do but to say, Lord, speak. You're the master. I'm the servant. You're the head. I'm the follower. You're God. I'm your creature. You're the Savior. I'm the one who you saved. You're the Lord. I'm the subject. I'm the disciple. Lord, wherever you go into life, I will follow you. Why? Lord Jesus, I look at the cross. And I realize that you shed your blood for me. You died to suffer God's judgment. I don't have to go to hell now because I have confidence in you. You died for me. What else can a disciple do but follow his master? You see how it's obvious that that's the thing that we should do? You see? You see, so as I've concluded these messages, I've tried to bring before you what the message of the gospel is according to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you honestly feel in your heart that I have not done an accurate job, I encourage you to come to me and talk with me and say, Gabe, you were trying to give the impression that this is what Jesus said, but that was really your own interpretation. I welcome that. I want you to come. But if that's not the case, you've been convinced from the Bible, then you say, Lord Jesus, I heard something about the gospel message that I've never heard before. This new person, this new preacher that I've not heard before, has been talking about the gospel as a message about God, sin, wrath, repentance, and faith in Christ and the Lordship of Christ. Well, then I've got to make sure that that's the gospel that I believe, that's the gospel that I live, that's the gospel that I practice, and that's the gospel that I preach to others. That's what it means. Because submission to Christ's Lordship means that when Jesus tells you something, you say, okay, Lord, I believe it. And then Jesus tells you to obey, he says, okay, Lord, I will obey it, and I will put it into practice. And I will change whatever needs to be changed to make you happy. You see how practical this is? That means if people preach in this pulpit and people come into this church and if they begin to believe and preach and teach and believe and do things that are not in accordance with the Word of God, you got to deal with those things. You got to deal with those things. You got to deal with situations that are not pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say it to you? It is so important. It is so important to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he not? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless your word to us. It's been a hot morning, Father. But we pray that each one here this morning will understand this message of the Lordship of Christ. I pray for each one, that each one may genuinely be a Christian. Lord, it's been an uncomfortable morning, but oh Lord, how uncomfortable it will be in hell if we're not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that each one will put their faith in Christ. And I pray for each genuine believer that they would, in very practical ways, obey Jesus as Lord and as Savior. We pray for the church, Lord. We pray that you will cause the church to come back to the preaching of the Word of God. We pray that each church, Presbyterian, Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, it doesn't matter, they would begin to preach the gospel message of the Word of God. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.